Welcome to the Ultimate Farm Wife podcast. On this channel, we're going to be discussing all things marrying a farmer, moving to the land, and becoming integrated with a family farming operation. Whether you're moving to the farm for the first time, or whether you're moving back into a family farming operation, we discuss the ins and the outs of all of it. So let's jump into today's episode. Hi, and welcome to today's podcast. We are talking with Lou. And so, Lou, tell us all about your family, your farm, and the business.
Yeah, thanks, Katya. Yeah, my name's Lou Crawford, and I am a farmer's wife. I live on a property called Numbee, and it's about a 6,000 hectare farm in the hills just above Wangla on the Lachlan River. Near a place called Reed's Flat, we run mainly crossbred and composite sheep and occasionally do some trade cattle. It's a busy professional and, you know, large scale farm. You know, life is crazy and we just run with it. But in my family, we have my husband, Dave, kind of is the manager and runs the show, and then myself kind of in the office and being the jack of all trades, master of none, and then we also have three beautiful kids with age 9, 7, and 5, so one more year and they're all off to school. So yeah, we're still juggling childcare, a lot of runs to town, primary school and things like that. And I'm also originally from a farm. So I grew up out west, northwest of Bulligal, and off a big merino station out there.
Yeah, wonderful background. Sheep to sheep. We were talking a little bit off camera before we hit record about the differences from going from one farm business into the other. So even though you came from sheep into another sheep business, what were some of the biggest changes that you noticed or things that you needed to adapt to be in the new family farm?
Yeah, no, like I think there's an old fable that I'm not sure many people know, but they used to say to the blokes, you know, marry west, always try and find a girl from the west because you're always bringing them closer to kind of more civilization and more people and closer to services in town. So I, coming back to the farm was kind of coming home to me, and, you know, we really, although we are, you know, still 45 minutes to a supermarket here, you know, there's just a higher population density and, you know, we're much closer to a lot of regional centres. So the transition wasn't huge, but farming-wise, I probably had to swallow my ego a little bit, mainly, I think, due to the terrain. Like, I tell a lot of people that the farm here is, like, basically the polar opposite to the farm that I grew up on. Out on the farm that I grew up on, you know, we didn't have any rocks, we didn't have any hills, we didn't have any grass. It's mainly saltbush country. Didn't really get much rain either, whereas this, we kind of got all of that in abundance here. So, you know, I came here thinking, yeah, I can ride a two-wheel motorbike, and, you know, it actually turns out I'm not very good at that. Not at all, just because it's really challenging, steep country here. You're very rugged and rocky. So we use a lot of dogs and occasionally horses to muster on, and my skill set just wasn't good enough to go out and kind of muster a paddock with one other or on my own even. So it was probably, I feel like it was busier compared to what my childhood memories were anyway.
Yeah, I always find it really interesting to talk about the difference between our childhood memories of growing up on farm and then actually being part of a family farming business.
Yeah,
because my childhood memories as well is that we didn't do as much as what we do now. And I just wonder if that's the role and whether we were kept a little in the dark as kids, or whether the the farming environment itself has just changed. I know there's a lot more paperwork and stuff now than what there used to be.
Yeah, and look, I've had some really good chats to my mum about this, and I said, like, does she think it is different? And she does acknowledge it. She thinks it's definitely busier than it, it probably was back then. The amount of paperwork is grown phenomenally. While women are much more involved with farm, there's probably not as much help. And the pace of our farms have all increased, and we're all, much more productive. And probably, you've really got to be on point to actually be competitive in the field, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, what was one of the, we talked about the difference in terrain and things like that, as well as getting to know the paperwork side. So, Lou, what else were some of the main hurdles or skill sets you needed to develop when you moved on farms?
Well, apart from getting used to the hills and also the cold, I probably struggled with that. Coming from dry heat, going into kind of a place where we'd get sleet once a year. I still haven't probably adapted to that. But I think initially, our farm was probably at a smaller scale, but it was moving to a new area. While I know people fairly well spread over New South Wales, it was one spot that I didn't have any good connections with. And what my both my husband and I don't have any family in this area. So I like to be honest, loneliness was a real challenge. Making friends when you're on farm, and at the time I was working in town, but probably I still had an hour's drive, so I wasn't kind of that well connected to that township. And it took me a few years to really bed down some really nice friendships, which I have a fantastic group of girlfriends out now. But yeah, look at I used to drive my husband crazy because I had projects coming out my ears, and I was just got really busy. I built a garden and loved my veggie garden, and even doing artistic stuff and like rent, just doing little renovations on the house and stuff. I just had so much on the go that I didn't have much time to think about it. But every now and then it's really nice to just go and have, some face-to-face catch up for a coffee. And to be honest, I don't need a whole lot. I'm an introvert, and that's why I'm comfortable living out in the hills. But I don't need a lot of social interaction, but just a coffee once a week with the girlfriends, enough to hold me. And but it just probably took a while to get to that, I think. And then the rest, I think the skill sets probably business-wise. I was coming from a health background, so my accounting and bookkeeping skills are pretty poor, and I had to kind of learn a lot of that myself. So, that was a slow process, but you just got to believe that you're an intelligent and capable person, and you can do it, and it finally works, finally comes around.
And what path did you take to learn those skills? Were you doing self-taught books and internet, or did you do any courses?
Oh, look, I think, and I mean, if I had to say anything to anyone moving onto a farm and into a farming business, I'd definitely recommend getting some training and some financial literacy training. We are dealing in big farms that are big business. There's so much money wrapped up in agriculture these days. It's just imperative to have your finger on the pulse. I have done a few courses over the years. And we use Xero, and I find that fairly user friendly in terms of like being able to teach yourself and things. But I did used to joke with my girlfriends when I started having children. We had a little mothers group, and a few of those girls were from farms, and it kind of just petered out a little bit once we all kind of got back to work and things. And I really feel like we went from needing a mothers group to talk about parenting to transition into a Xero or a bookkeeping account support group, because there were just so many tips and tricks that I could have fast tracked to make my journey so much easier. But and look, and I'm still learning. We've just signed up to a course just recently, just around financial literacy, and it's been fantastic and learning stuff I didn't know before. So, going from it's one thing to be do the bookkeeping, pay the bills, and do your BASs and track your taxes and things, but to be literate and understanding the flow of your money and your wealth is another thing again, and it's just important to know.
Yeah, absolutely. And a few weeks ago on the podcast, we had Carmen from AgriFocused. So I will tag her in the comments and the socials as well, because she is a wealth of knowledge as well for that farm literacy, especially from like an accounting point of view, a practical farming point of view as well. So Lou, we've spoken, about some of the skills that you needed to develop, the changing in the landscapes to where you are now, the isolation. But let's change direction and talk a little bit more about value adding to the farm. So how did you find, you loved your projects? So when did tell us about your value adding projects that you are running now. How did they start and how did you get them to where they are now? Because they are phenomenal.
Okay, so we're still, fairly in the early stages, but a couple of years, it's probably been about 2 years I've been running Rove Numbie. Numbie's the name of our farm, and Rove Numbie is an agritourism project that I'm doing, which involves kind of every spring and autumn, I host groups of about around 8 people onto our farm, and I take them hiking in the hills. And I've fixed up a historic stone cottage that was on our farm. It was nearly a ruin, to be a bit of a base camp. So we kind of make it a luxury weekend, like a hosted weekend, and we feed them beautiful food, lamb from the farm, local produce. And one of my good friends, Heidi Castledon, is a fabulous cook, and she just spoils and rotten, and so far we're getting great feedback. But I think that all came about. I had my children fairly kind of close succession, and I had a big break from my previous role as a mental health occupational therapist. And that was a very town-based role. And I was driving an hour each way to go to that. And I just couldn't really see a future in doing that, pairing that with childcare, and mainly just dragging kids in and out of town for an hour each way. I was exhausted doing it on my own, let alone dragging young children to do that. And I still needed to kind of fill that hole of feeling like I wanted to be competent at something, put my own label on something. And while I'm very happy working in the farm, I just felt like I could probably do something that complemented the farm, but also something that I could put my name to. And also needed a bit of a creative outlet, I think, after all the number crunching in the office. I think a couple of like, and my sister and I were always pretty good at, daydreaming up wild kind of side hustle business schemes, and nothing really ever stuck in terms of ideas. But the one thing I think I knew that is whenever I did have friends and family come to visit, they just kind of kept saying, "Oh, it's so beautiful here, it's so pretty," and we'd have these epic picnics and they just love it, and take people down to the creek, and we had good fishing and things like that. So I kind of thought I could bank on that, and in the end I came across an article of a lady doing it up in the Northern Territory called Trek West, and Shelley Hawkins was taking visitors around her farm, and I kind of thought I could do that. Except that our climate is much wetter than those, and you can't take people hiking and then have them huddling in little tents. So I thought we might fix this old stone house up, which thank God I was pretty naive, otherwise I probably would never have started it. It was a huge job, which I absolutely loved, and I think it's turned out like pretty well, but I'd hate to kind of think how many of my man hours it cost. I spent a lot of time out there, which was probably also my little sanctuary and my little break from, being at home with young kids and things like that. But we've probably built it up into a business now, and it's, now on its, toddler legs. We're just starting to get a roll on, and so far so good. So I just love it. It really kind of fills a creative need for me, and works nicely with the farmers. It complements the farm, and it actually turns the negatives of living on a place like Nambi around. So the things that would be a negative to farm and live here, such as like really rough and steep terrain, no mobile service, isolation, they're all actually a positive if you look at agritourism. So one of the biggest things that people love is having no phone service. Steep terrain's great for hiking, and we live it's just the stone house that is the base camp is just far enough for people to kind of go, where the hell are you taking me? Like, and then they just pop over the hill and there's this lovely luxury base camp. So while we're still only 2 hours from a lot of the regional centres in New South Wales and 3.5 to Sydney, people feel like they're kind of in the middle of nowhere. So it's working well in our business model, I suppose.
Yeah, perfect. That's absolutely perfect. So if there was a young farm wife or farmer who is wanting to value add to the family farming business, they're looking at doing something similar to what you've done, or even something that would suit their business structure better, what would your advice be, and what would you tell them to look out for in advance?
Look, I'd say do it. I think it's a real emerging industry, and New South Wales Tourism would back that up with statistics that they really think that's probably where a lot of future of tourism is, in really immersive experiences. One of the things that have surprised me, while I thought a lot of people would be coming for the scenery, a lot of people are fascinated with the agriculture. They just don't have that connection to farming anymore, and they really want to know, like, how do we get the sheep to the shed to get their wool cut off? Yes. in their words, they love hearing about that, and really things that they can feel and touch and experience. So look, I would say I think there's great opportunity there, and I think you just got to have a go, just and start somewhere. I think if I had to give people the heads up, I'd say read all the the rules and regulations part of it. It's there's some, especially your council planning, you really probably want to know where you stand there, because there are some tricky clauses in the council planning, which I wouldn't suggest anyone to try to work out themselves. I think you've just got to go straight to an advisor and ask them, the parameters of kind of what's possible and what's not possible. I'm happy to take calls on that. But and I think people want a part of us as well. They really like to speak to the farmer, and not trying to pretend to be anyone you're not, but they just want to know, what our lives are like, and what it's like living on the farm, and to be honest, it's a really positive, it's always been a really positive interaction for me. Yeah.
For those who are nervous about potentially opening the farm up to another avenue of people or criticism or anything like that, what would your piece of advice to them on that be?
I think people who are really anti-farming are not going to book this kind of holiday anyway. I just think it's really important to keep an open dialogue around the realities of farming. And if you form a bit of a personal connection with people, that leaves an open, really open non-judgmental place to ask questions and have that open conversation, I think that is so healthy, and that is more than, you know, you'll get more out of those interactions, you know, as an industry as a whole, than, you know, kind of shutting things away and closing things off. So, because people are curious and they do want to know the other point of view, and yeah, having that conversation kind of takes away the mystery, I think, and helps people understand kind of where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. Lou, the farm is busy, you are busy with the kids, and now with Rove Numble as well. How do you fit everything in?
I don't always. Yeah, like I quite often think, you know, there's a lot on my plate, and if I put something more on my plate, it's, you know, it's not a fuller plate, it's just something else falls off. So usually my house is kind of the yardstick about how busy I am. Like, it's an absolute bomb site at the moment, and it's just because the cleaning the house is a low priority at the moment because there's so much other stuff to do. I wish it wasn't like that. But, it is busy, and I think, though, there's, you know, it's worth it for the reward. Like, I think running your own business, farming and agritourism, you know, the highs are higher, the lows are lower, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, your own boss, and when you do get the highs, they are like 150% worth it. Yeah.
So do you do any gratitude around those highs to make sure you're taking it in and really appreciating those moments and successes?
Oh, no, Katya, don't have time. Oh, no. Like, I mean, I suppose what do I do? Like, I think, you know, we do work really hard, but I think it's not always work when you love what you do. You know, I absolutely love the stone house, and, yes, while I'm getting financial gain out of it, that is probably my happy place and my hobby. And I absolutely love doing it. So that's kind of my out as well. I do try to make a little bit of time for myself, you know, early in the morning, even if it's just 15 minutes. I think it's important to kind of get off farm every now and then. I wish I could practice more what I preach, but, you know, that's just, you know, that's life, you know, got to trying really hard to take my own advice on all of that, but yeah.
Lou, it has been absolutely amazing to have you on the channel today. That comes to the end of my official questions, but is there anything else you'd like to add to the Ultimate Farm Wife community for anyone who is moving to the land, back into a family business, or wanting to do something in agritourism?
I think there's definitely opportunities to do it. I think it's if you're going to do it, just do it really well. I think I've gone into it, you know, 110%. You know, I don't think it would be as good if I just kind of treated it as, you know, just like a little side hustle. Like, you've got to kind of commit to it, doing it properly and professionally if you do. But you know what, the best bit is just getting reminded when you have a group of people out, just getting reminded how bloody good it is to live where we do and do what we do, like, and sharing it. It's absolutely fantastic. So I couldn't recommend it highly enough.
Absolutely. Definitely agree with that. Thank you, Lou, so much for coming on the channel, sharing your journey, your experience, your tips, tricks, and advice. For everyone who is listening to this episode from home, please be sure to like, subscribe, jump on our socials, let us know what you liked most about today's chat or what you found most valuable, and remember to share with a friend, and we'll talk to you soon in the next episode.